I'm Neil Strausser, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Of this occasion, suffice it to say, it has never happened before. The House and Senate assembled in joint meeting in the House chamber now wait for the entrance of the President, and the man he has nominated for Vice President has been confirmed by majority vote of the House and Senate. And here, now entering the House chamber to applause, the packed House chamber, President Nixon being escorted by a joint committee of House and Senate, and by his side, Gerald Ford. The vacancy in the office of Vice President for the first time being filled under procedures of the 21st Amendment to the Constitution. The Senate approved Ford several days ago by a vote of 92-3. The House earlier this afternoon, about an hour and a half ago, followed suit with a 387-35 vote of approval. And now Ford is to take the oath of office in the chamber where he has served for 25 years as the representative from Michigan and for the last nearly 9 years as Republican leader of the House. Ford thus becomes the 40th Vice President of the United States, succeeding to the office just over 2 months after the resignation of Spiro Agnew, who resigned, you'll recall, shortly before pleading no contest to a tax evasion charge. Actually, I have a bit of confusion. I believe that Gerald Ford and the President are still outside the chamber. Everyone inside is in readiness for the entrance. The members of the cabinet were the last group to be announced.
Speaker,
now, William Fishbait Miller, the House
doorkeeper. The President of the United States and the Vice President designate of the United States.
Now we pause inside the House chamber, everyone standing. In the gallery overlooking is Mrs. Nixon. Mrs. Ford has been brought into the House chamber earlier. She will stand with Gerald Ford as he takes the oath of office. Both President Nixon and Gerald Ford, clad in what appear to be dark blue suits, Ford in a tie with some white dots on it, as he climbs up to the House rostrum. Behind him, the Speaker of the House, Carl Albert, and the President Pro Tem of the Senate, James Eastland of Mississippi. Ford now shaking Eastland's hand. Albert and Eastland were the two men who were next in line for the presidency, at least until this oath-taking, this filling of the vice presidential vacancy, which is about to take place. We expect next to hear from the Speaker of the House, Carl Albert, who will announce that pursuant to the 25th Amendment, which made it possible to fill this vacancy, Gerald Ford will be sworn in, but he's standing now, still receiving the applause. His wife beside him, wearing a light red or pink dress. Also, at that spot, on the second level of the House rostrum, the Chief Justice of the United States, the white-haired Warren Burger. And on Ford's left, President of the United States, Richard Nixon.
The Senate, by a vote of 92 yeas to 3 nays, on November 27, 1973, having confirmed the nomination of Gerald R. Ford of the state of Michigan to be Vice President of the United States, and the House of Representatives by a vote of 387 yeas to 35 nays, on today having confirmed the nomination of Gerald R. Ford of the state of Michigan to be Vice President of the United States, the proceedings required by Section 2 of the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution have been complied with. The gentleman from Michigan, Mr. Gerald R. Ford, has advised the chair that he has transmitted his letter of resignation as a representative of the 5th District of the State of Michigan to the Governor and the Secretary of the State of Michigan as required by the law of that state. The chair now requests the Chief Justice of the United States to administer the oath of office to the Vice President.
Raise your right hand, Mr. Ford, and place your hand on the Bible. And repeat after me. I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear
I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
Of the office on which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Faces of both Gerald Ford and the Chief Justice of the United States, Warren Burger, as there was a slight fumble on the taking of the oath, which, by the way, is the same one administered to all federal judges, congressmen, and executive officials of the civil service branch. The only difference, slightly different oath, is administered to the President of the United States. He took the oath with his hand on a Bible, which was supplied by his eldest son, Michael. He was a student at the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Hamilton, Massachusetts.
Mr. President, members of the Congress, and distinguished guests, I have the high personal honor of presenting to you a dear friend and former colleague whom we shall all miss, but whom we all congratulate, the Vice President of the United States.
The introduction by the Speaker of the House, Carl Albert, long an adversary, but also a worker with the man who now leads the House as its Republican leader for nearly 9 years. And I would imagine that Carl Albert is a somewhat relieved man to be introducing this new Vice President of the United States, because Albert made no secret of his discomfort at being a Democrat next in line for the presidency until this vacancy in the Republican administration was filled. And now, Vice President
Mr.
Gerald
President,
Ford.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chief Justice, Mr. President pro tempore, distinguished guests, and friends. Together, we have made history here today. For the first time, we have carried out the commands of the 25th Amendment. In exactly 8 weeks, we have demonstrated to the world that our great republic stands solid, stands strong upon the bedrock of the Constitution. I'm a Ford, not a Lincoln. My addresses will never be as eloquent as Mr. Lincoln's, but I will do my very best to equal his brevity and his plain speaking. I'm deeply grateful to you, Mr. President, for the trust and the confidence your nomination implies. As I have throughout my public service under 6 administrations, I will try to set a high example of respect for the crushing and lonely burdens which the nation lays upon the President of the United States. Mr. President, you have my support and my loyalty. To the Congress assembled, my former colleagues who have elected me on behalf of our fellow countrymen, I express my heartfelt thanks. As a man of the Congress, let me reaffirm my conviction that the collective wisdom of our two great legislative bodies, while not infallible, will in the end serve the people faithfully and very, very well. I will not forget the people of Michigan who sent me to this chamber, or the friends that I have found here. Mr. Speaker, I understand that the United States Senate intends in a very few minutes to bind me by its rules. For their presiding officer, this amounts practically to a vow of silence. Mr. Speaker, you know how difficult this is going to be for me. Before I go from this house, which has been my home for a quarter century, I must say I am forever in its debt. And particularly, Mr. Speaker, thank you for your friendship, which I certainly am not leaving. To you, Mr. Speaker, and to all of my friends here, however you voted an hour ago, I say a very fond goodbye. May God bless the House of Representatives and guide all of you in the days ahead. Mr. Chief Justice, may I thank you personally for administering the oath, and thank each of the honorable justices for honoring me with your attendance. I pledge to you, as I did the day I was first admitted to the bar, my dedication to the rule of law and equal justice for all Americans. For standing by my side, as she always has, there are no words to tell you, my dear wife and mother of our four wonderful children, how much their being here means to me. As I look into the faces that fill this familiar room, and as I imagine those faces in other rooms across the land, I do not see members of the legislative branch, or the executive branch, or the judicial branch, though I am very much aware of the importance of keeping the separate but co-equal branches of our federal government in balance. I do not see senators or representatives, nor do I see Republicans or Democrats. Vital as the two-party system is to sustain freedom and responsible government. At this moment of visible and living unity, I see only America. I see Americans who love their country. Americans who work and sacrifice for their country and their children. I see Americans who pray without ceasing for peace among all nations and for harmony at home. I see new generations of concerned and courageous Americans, but the same kind of Americans, the children and grandchildren of those Americans who met the challenge of December 7th just 32 years ago. Mr. Speaker, I like what I see. Mr. Speaker, I am not discouraged. I am indeed humble. to be the 40th Vice President of the United States. But I am proud, very proud, to be one of 200 million Americans. I promise my fellow citizens only this: to uphold the Constitution, to do what is right as God gives me to see the right, and within the limited powers and duties of the Vice Presidency, to do the very best that I can for America. I will do these things with all the strength and good sense that I have, and with your help and through your prayers. Thank you.